prayer may cleanse the soul, but pain cleanses the body. Both are necessary for the survival of humanity.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Tuesday, November 26, 2019. This is episode 57. Thanksgiving week. So if you live in the States, that's fun. If you live elsewhere in the world, I don't think most other countries celebrate Thanksgiving, whatever. What it means to a lot of us, though, here in, you know, America, is a fucking free day off followed up by everybody trying to murder each other to get cheap fucking TVs. So, it's a load of bullshit. So, this will be my second Black Friday not working retail, and I thank whatever dark gods there are out there for that wonderful gift of not working at that hellhole GameStop any longer. So, beyond that, as far as, you know, my neck of the woods, like I said, it's a holiday week. Gonna get an extra day off, which is gonna be cool. Lots of excitement going on with new Warhammer shit coming out this weekend and stuff too, which is cool. Beyond that, work went from being crazy stupidly busy to being like almost non-existent suddenly. It's actually a bit of a pain in the butt, so the timing is not great, unfortunately. But you know, it is what it is. I'm gonna probably try work a little bit more. I've started working more on the hobby stuff too. Commissions wise and stuff, so hoping to start getting more commissions rolling in too. So beyond that, you know, I've still been a little sick. Unfortunately, I at this point, I think I've just got something chronic going on. I don't know what the hell to do about it. I just can't get over whatever the big problem is, because I keep having little things come up. Although I did finally decide to say fuck it, and I've never been much of a tea kind of person, by any stretch of the imagination, but I've heard many times that tea and honey can help greatly with throat problems. So right now I am drinking some lemon and ginger tea with honey added in it, and I will say that, yeah, this actually feels pretty good. I think my voice sounds a lot better than it did. And I woke my ass up earlier, like, today. I didn't sleep as well as I could have because I woke up to just coughing and hacking and everything else. My throat, it doesn't so much feel like I'm sick, per se, but I just have this constant dryness that I cannot seem to get rid of, this constant tickle in my throat. But then there's a bunch of other stuff, congestion and so on and so forth, so it might be tied to that stuff, I don't know. But, you know, whatever, sorry, that's the spoon. If you hear, you know, clinky clanging, that's my spoon in my cup, my Warhammer cup, which is cool. But, like I said, still been on and off, but I feel like my voice sounds better. I mean, you guys can let me know, maybe I still sound like complete and utter fucking garbage, but, to me, I sound better, I think. So, And then, as I mentioned, Just doing up some commission pieces. I feel like lately, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I have gotten a lot better at painting in a very short period of time. Or not that I was like, oh, I'm total garbage and now I'm suddenly God's gift on to painting minis. No, I just feel like I've definitely improved like dramatically recently. I have picked up a few new tools, which has come in handy, which I'll go over some of that in, a little bit. Some new tools, some new paints, so on and so forth. But otherwise, Nah, not much else going on that I can think of. So, oh, well, I guess there's this whole little thing that I kind of went and proposed to Krista over the weekend. So, that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. You know? Well, yay. So, yeah, no, I just try to be a little modest about it. But, yeah, so my initial plans for the whole proposal thing did not exactly pan out timing-wise. So I ended up saying, fuck it, and just doing it live. First she was just kind of like, oh, not that she wanted something like extravagant or expensive. She just wanted a story to tell people. Problem is, the thing I had planned didn't work at the time I wanted it to. It still might end up working, oddly enough. But when I explained to her what my plan was, and she was like, oh my God. You know, like, that, you know, that explains why I just kind of was like, I'm going to just fucking do it. Let's just fucking do it. So, I fucking did it. So, there you go. So, yep, I did it. I'm cool. I'm pretty neat. So, but, yeah. So, that's what's going on. Yep, so, work, illness, engagement, whatever. What's new, right? And then, just as I was all talking about, oh, I'm drinking my tea and it's making my throat feel better, blah, blah, blah. And then I just had a random little coughing fit, so I had to stop it for a moment. So, yay, perfect timing, right? I guess apparently it overheard me discussing how I was feeling better and had to do something about it. So, anywho, let's get into the Warhammer goodness. So, as far as interesting and new things goes, we, of course, have the Psychic Awakening Faith of Fury just came out, right? I think, yeah. Was it just come out this weekend? Or is it just coming out yet? Damn it. I always get this shit confused because of the fact that they'll randomly change up. Sometimes it's, oh, yep, it's next week. And other times, oh, yep, it's the week after. You know that. It's 2 weeks out, not one. Double checking says Faith of Fury is not out yet. Yeah, my bad. Faith of Fury comes out this weekend. Yes, ships on the 29th. All right, my apologies. Like I said, getting this shit fucking mixed up back and forth. So yeah, I clearly haven't gotten my hands on that yet. I haven't gotten my hands on any of those, the supplemental rule books yet, but. But Faith of Fury will be out this weekend. And also, too, will be, of course, the long-anticipated Sisters of Battle, the first go-around, so to speak. The army set will be coming out on Friday. I have been seeing that some local Warhammer stores, so, you know, like the actual physical Warhammer stores, I know that at least there's only two here in the state of Michigan that I know of. But the one out in Ann Arbor, they put a post up. They'll be having some available on launch day, extra. I would assume the Grand Rapids one would too, but you'd have to double check with them because I haven't seen anything specifically that says that. And then, of course, you know, check out your FLGS. So, you know, you might be able to. A lot of those types of places will have discounts and things of that nature that you won't be able to get through GW directly. Or you can hit up eBay and Amazon if you feel like just having, a good old-fashioned, anal penetration, sans Vaseline, that is the scalpers and other bullshitters on websites like that. So, but that's totally your call. You know, if you're into that, that's fine. I mean, you know, that's, yeah, everybody's sexual preference is their sexual preference, and it's totally kosher. But that's what it's doing for fun purposes. This case is people just literally trying to pull your wallet out through your asshole, and that just doesn't feel as nice. At least I don't think it would. Not that I have any experience. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anywho, but yeah, that'll all be coming out this weekend. They are doing some pre-orders, of course, and stuff too, coming up here soon. They will be starting to do pre-orders for, or at least I'm assuming they're pre-ordering all this crap, not just releasing it, because that would be kind of different for them. But anyway, I believe all this starts on Saturday. This Saturday, they're going to start pre-ordering all this stuff. And I'm assuming comes out within the next week or 2 weeks. Once again, it's been pretty random. They've been changing all this crap all around lately. So, but I believe some of this stuff is supposed to come out next weekend. Not this coming weekend, the following. Anywho, so all the new goodies. We've got 12 Battle Forces. That's right, 12 Battle Forces coming out, which is pretty fucking cool. And we've got 6 of them coming out for 40K. Space Wolves, Blood Angels, Tau Empire, Chaos Space Marines, Drukhari, and Tyranids. That Tyranids one in particular has the most shit in it by quite the margin. You're looking at, on the low end, the Space Wolves box set has 17 models included. The second largest box is the Tau Empire one with 28 models. The Tyranids one is 46. So, no price is listed though, so I don't know, you know, how good of a deal it'll end up being right now, but I imagine it'll save you some money. And then we've got 4 for Age of Sigmar. 2 of them, I don't know how great of a sales option these 2 would be, because a lot of people already have bunches of these models, but whatever. If you need more, here's more. You got the Nighthaunt, Court of the Craven King, which does include some stuff that not everybody has, but a lot of Age of Sigmar players who picked up box sets or wanted just cheap models have shit tons of Nighthaunt. Then there's the Stormcast Eternal box, same problem, same deal. A lot of people already have a bunch of those models. Man, excuse me, I was trying to talk and trying to stifle a yawn at the same time, and it just came out weird. But yeah, a lot of people already have a bunch of those models. And I'm not saying they're bad armies. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying that, you know, like, Krista's got Nighthaunt just falling out of her asshole all over the house. So, well, not yet, because they're still at my dad's house at the moment. But soon, we are working on getting all of our shit transferred over here. So, there is a doubles tournament near Christmas next month. Because that's when Christmas is, by the way, is in December, which is the month after November, which is the month right now. So, duh. So there's this doubles tournament, but it catches its Grand Alliance only. So, both players have to be from the same Grand Alliance, which is kind of like, okay, but no, but alright, but eh. So, point being is that I have Magikin, she has Nighthaunt. Yeah. You know, that doesn't work for this type of tournament. And we've been out of it for a while. We would like to get back into it. It's just been too damn long since we've played. And we've really wanted to do, like, a doubles thing, because her and I like doing stuff together. That's part of this whole relationship thing. You know, it's kind of cool. But yeah, so, you know, we really just want to go and get ourselves fucked up together. What's going to either end up happening is either she's got more than a plenty of fuck ton enough of Nighthaunt, so either we're going to take, she's going to have 1,250 points, I'm going to take the other 1,250 points. And then there's still, I'm sure, we're pretty certain she's got plenty more beyond that. But, then we'll go ahead and do that. The other thing, the alternative, is I got some Boner Boys, the Ossiarch Bone Reapers, and I'm still working on building them, and I've actually done, you know, put together kind of some tentative lists, because the Feast of Bones box set doesn't come with 1,250 points. What? And not another whole army? Big fucking shock, GW wants money. Of course, naturally, it's business. Damn, I was trying to, like, deliver a punchline, and then my body once again was like, no, you're gonna burp now, so, you're trying to stifle that while you're trying to, entertain people, and you're not funny, and I'm like, fuck you. So, there's not enough Boner Boys in the box to make, I think it's 720 points, if I remember correctly, when I added it up before. So, you know, I need 530 more points to meet that mark. You know, as close as you can get without going over. Price is Right. Yeah, so it doesn't take much. Though, Bone Reapers, points-wise, mega stupidly expensive. You can buy, I think the cheapest I've figured out so far, and this is full retail price, mind you, too. I've got lots of options to get stuff discounted. Full retail price, I think it's about $120, and I'd have enough models to field the 1,250. And yeah, so it's not that much at all. At all. And GW bucks, it's practically free. But yeah, Bone Reapers are just mad expensive points-wise. Anywho, I am getting way the fuck off topic here. Going back to this Battle Force stuff, there are two other Battle Forces that look actually really cool. So we've got the Gloomspite Gits, the Cage Room Loons. Looks like you got like a Mangler Squig. There's some Trolls. Looks like 10 different... you know, squig hoppers. And then looks like there's some fanatics. And then there's that war boss dude with like the moon face thing. I don't remember the name of it. Anywho, yeah. So the other one is the Skaven Corrupting War Swarm. Now I cannot see the full contents of the box, but I can see it's got a Plague Claw Catapult, a shit ton of Clan Rats, big shock. Looks like some Plague Monks, possibly. In there, in which case, of Plague Monks, are those even available in plastic? Oh, fucker, nah, it's time to do some research. But yeah, and then there's actually a Vermin Lord in there. Yeah, Plague Monks are available in plastic. Why did I think they weren't available in plastic? I don't know. I don't know. Well, yeah, it looks like they're plastic. Anywho. Yeah, those are the same models. Or no. Yeah, those are the same old ugly models. Anywho. Once again, I'm distracting myself. Apologies. I'm just so excitable. Anywho. But yeah, and then the fucking Vermin Lord in there too. So, once again, there's this weird disparity. Particularly, actually. So, Big Shock, the smallest box, Stormcast Eternals. Uh-huh. But also, no, that's not the smallest box. I take it back. Excuse me. I misread it. I flipped two numbers. The smallest, actually, believe it or not, is the Gloomspite Gits box with 21 miniatures. So it's one less model. It's probably because of the Mangler Squig being in there really just, you know, nixes that, the whole GW generosity, bullshit. But yeah, the largest one is the Nighthaunt box with 46. Skaven's next at 45. So there's just a, you know, one model disparity there between the two lowest and the two highest. But it's weird that the Gits have the absolute lowest. So, lastly, Battle Force-wise, not 40K, not AOS, but fucking Adeptus Titanicus, a Knight Household Battle Force. This one, let's see here. It's got 12 knights included. It looks like six of them are your you know, standard knights. The other ones, we got four what look like the Acastus ones, and then two I think they're called Porphyrions, which are really fucking cool looking knights. You know, I don't know how they play on the game. I still have to finish putting together my Titanicus shit. But that's going to be, you know what? This is the thing. With this whole moving and everything else, you know, we are working on building a hobby space. You know, our basement is not a finished basement. But, you know, with some work and some, you know, diligence, we can make a pretty cool hobby space out of it still. And that's the plan. That's what we want to do, is this is going to be our hobbying space, where we're going to game, work on models, etc. As part of all this, I'm going to have shelves set up that separate, here are the projects that need to be done from the projects that are done. That way I can physically look at a shelf and go, there's my shame. Is it going to change everything? Not without, you know, I have to actually stick to the grindstone. You can't just go, well, no, it's on a different shelf, so that means I'm going to be motivated. No, you got to keep yourself fucking motivated and keep on going. But that's going to be part of my whole big thing is that I've been hobbying at least an hour every day for the past several days, and it's been really nice. Admittedly, it's just because I've been working on other projects altogether than the Warhammer stuff, but still, you know, if I'm just going to try and keep up at least an hour a day, today, admittedly, I'm like, look at the time, like, oh, fuck, yeah, if I want to do an hour a day and it's already 20 after 3 and I'm recording and blah, blah, blah. Although I would consider still this part of hobbying, but, like personally, but we'll see. I'd like to still try and fit in a little bit of model work if I can help it. At least try to finish, the other, Morghast that I have. So, cause I got two of them in that Feast of Bones box set. The, other big thing that they are going to be doing pre-orders on though is, right after Faith and Fury, they're just boom. Here's the next Psychic Awakening book, Blood of Baal. So, Blood of Baal will be coming out very shortly here as well. And that is going to feature primarily the Blood Angels versus the Tyranids. Although they are going to have some successor chapters, it even says there's some extra stuff for Flesh Terrors fans. So, fingers crossed. I'd love to see some more Flesh Terror shit, like them actually become a little bit more separate and unique, because that's one of the few chapters that I'm really big on, personally. I would love to see Gabriel Seth cross the Rubicon Primaris. I really don't think that's going to happen, since they just had Mephiston cross the Rubicon Primaris. And it's a really badass-looking model, I might add, once again. Mephiston is looking pretty fucking cool. So if you're a big Blood Angels fan, make sure you pick up that model. He's looking pretty baller. Now, as far as Tyranids go, though, this I think is what, you know, I think a lot of people, well, I would say that both of the main focal armies in this book are some of the worst armies competitive-wise, and just, you know, unique flavor-wise right now. They just, you know, their rules aren't as fleshed out and colorful as a lot of the newer books. But the main thing is that in particular is that both of these armies, Tyranids and Blood Angels, they both specialize in assault, you know, being assault armies, close combat armies. And yet, and they're supposed to be like, you know, Blood Angels are supposed to be some of like the cream of the crop when it comes to close combat Space Marines. And then Tyranids are supposed to be the cream of the crop, when it comes to just close combat anything, you know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to be some of the deadliest, nastiest things in the universe, and both armies just fall flat on their ass. So, well, it'll be interesting to see what this book does, when we consider what Psychic Awakening has done so far. The Eldari book is out, has been out for a while. And it's made some interesting changes. It's added a lot more flavor, to the game, allowing you to kind of like with the whole successor chapter traits thing, for Space Marines, you can build your own craft world, basically. Faith and Fury, which we're going to go over a little bit of detail. Once again, don't have Faith and Fury yet because it's not out, but, I do have access to some of the rules, and we're going to go over some of that stuff. Mainly just one specific example, later, but, the, you know, Faith and Fury, sounds like overall, all those, you know, legions that have been pretty much fucked over by GW, World Eaters, Emperor's Children, Iron Warriors, Night Lords, Alpha Legion, and Word Bearers, all of them are getting unique fluff and rules, or unique fluffy rules is what I meant to say, as in, rules that, you know, make them feel like their own unique army from the other Chaos Space Marine Legions. It's some pretty cool shit from what I've seen so far. I haven't seen a lot of specifics on the Black Templar stuff for Space Marines, but that being said, Space Marines shouldn't really need much right now at all. They really don't. Not that Chaos desperately needs stuff. A lot of Chaos players bitching and moaning, oh, Space Marines are getting this, Space Marines are getting that. The fact of the matter is that most of this year has been Chaos. Chaos came out beginning of the year and has just pretty much run the roost until 2.0 Space Marines dropped, and then it pretty much tanked. But they got a shit ton of new shit this year. Chaos got a lot of upgrades, a lot of updates, and yes, I do think that there's still some more work to be done in certain ways, and I do think that the Chaos 2.0 Codex, when you compare it to the 2.0 Space Marine Codex, what is kind of disappointing, namely, though, from the customization and the whole, trying to think of a way of wording it, like the combat doctrines thing, the fact that you have to go mono faction, that's what I was trying to think of. You know, it's encouraging you to run mono faction as well and stuff. The Chaos Space Marine book doesn't do that, and blah blah blah. Anywho, we're getting out in the weeds here. The point is that the new Psychic Awakening book is doing a lot to add rules that are both competitive and exciting, while also being fluffy. You know, a lot of competitive players could give two shits less about fluff, and to those competitive players out there who do not care about the fluff, you're really missing out, man. Stop meta chasing all the time. Just stop and smell the roses every now and then. Pick an army that you like just because you like it. While you're hitting the tournament scenes and whatnot, sure, you know what, that's fine. You just use whatever the latest, greatest, hottest, whatever bullshit is, and feel good about yourself. So, cool. But when you're at home playing some casual games or whatever else, or even if you're playing competitively, but you're just playing with friends and locals and stuff, nothing that gets you ITC points and shit, pick out that army that you think looks cool. Not the one that's the most powerful, but the one that looks the coolest to you, and roll with it if you haven't done that before, and you will see it is good shit. So, but anywho, we will wait and see what Blood of Baal does for Tyranids and Blood Angels. By the sounds of it, Tyranids are going to get something similar to Craft Worlds and Space Marines and stuff, in that they're going to have a whole thing that's going to let you customize your own high fleet. But there's also going to be something called adaptive physiology that almost makes it sound like we're going to be able to, you know, you could create a Carnifex, but you could create it, or, well, Carnifex is a bad example because there's already like 4,000 different versions of Carnifex. But you could just, you know, they even mentioned here a Carnifex of Synapse, a pack of camouflaged Tyranid Warriors. So you'll be able to customize, by the sounds of it, on a unit by unit basis too, to make your individual units more interesting and different capabilities. So we'll see. Alright, the other big stuff that's coming out here very soon, there is a new Kill Team annual book. So they had mentioned before that they were planning to kind of do that as an annual release, that, you know, just to kind of put everything together into one book. And they are going to be adding the new Adeptus Sororitas as a Kill Team option in there. So that might actually get me to finally, you know, pick up my shit and try Kill Team out, because I think this, you know, the Adeptus Sororitas would make a cool Kill Team. But anyway, I digress there. The biggest thing that everybody's been waiting for, though, is fucking Chapter Approved 2019. It will be out shortly. They are doing two separate books, though, actually. But it does say that they're bundled. So I don't know if it's, I hope it doesn't make it far more expensive. Yeah, because that would kind of suck. But there's going to be the Chapter Approved book itself, and then there's going to be the Munitorum Field Manual, which has all the points values. not just the adjusted ones. Let me repeat that. It has all of the points values, not just the adjusted ones. So we're not just going to have just what recently changed. You're going to have the entire 40K lineup from start to finish. Every single fucking unit, every single fucking model, every single fucking upgrade that costs points is going to be in this book for every single army. So that's really fucking cool, actually. And it's nice to not only have everything, but to have it in a separate package even from the chapter approved book itself. So that way, if all you want to look at is points, you don't have to flip all the way to the back of chapter approved stuff. You could just flip to the end of that field manual or wherever you part in your field manual you have your army, and boom, there it is, or whatever you need to check. So, but yeah, so lots of cool shit there coming out, obviously. So they did mention actually too with chapter approved, there were some leaked things that sounded like some specific points drops and stuff. But there's also on the Warhammer community site, they give some specific examples. Ravenwing Black Knights will be dropping from 38 to 34 points. So, 4 points, cool. Grey Knights, a member of a strike squad, now costs on average a mere 17 points per model after you've kitted them out, while their Terminator counterparts will now come to around 35 points a model. So, yeah, no big shock there. Although Grey Knights severely just need to be overhauled, GW. Just give up on trying to just, you know, points adjust them. It's time to junk the old book and give them a new one. So, they also have done some, they showed off the Necrons. Triarch Praetorians have dropped from 26 to 20 points, or when armed with the Rods of Covenant, or 22 with Void Blades and Particle Casters. The only thing that they mention here specifically on this article, this is not all-inclusive, obviously, is Eldari Flyers. They moved the points up. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what the points were. But Crimson Hunter Exarch is now 150 points, and the Razorwing Jet Fighter is now 115 points. So, yeah, you know, it's, like I said, it's nice to see them addressing stuff, though, all the same. You know, whether it's enough or too much or whatever, we'll have to see when that time comes. But at least as of right now, I think it's a good thing, so. But yeah, so, anywho, yeah, that's about it for right now. I'm going to go ahead and, actually, one last thing I forgot to mention with the upcoming release stuff. I think it's this weekend that is the Vanguard Space Marine and Chaos Space Marine box sets will be being released separately this weekend. So if you haven't gotten Shadow Spear or don't want both halves, etc., here's an opportunity. So, anywho, going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I'm going to go over some new specific rule stuff for actual, not just like rumors and hearsay, actual rules that have been released, as well as I'm going to do a little bit of a focus on what has been released for the Night Lords from Psychic Awakening, Faith and Fury, because this is probably the most badass thing that they're doing in that book. So, anywho, switch it over to commercial. When we come back, we'll go over that shit. I'll see you guys in a second.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to go over a couple rules, previews, things, as well as some specifics on the Night Lords from the Faith of Fury book. Now, mind you, the The Night Lord stuff is secondhand. To my understanding, it is fully 110% accurate. But if I am missing anything, it is because the source that I got it from does not feature it. So, or, you know, they fucked up. One of the two. So, anywho. Yeah, I just wanted to go over a little bit on the upcoming Psychic Awakening, Blood of Baal. They did show off some chapter-focused stuff on the Blood Angels. So, we are looking at, for starters, their new, like, their army-wide rule for, the, like, the doctrine thing that makes them unique. It's called Savage Echoes. So, what it does is, whilst the Assault Doctrine is active, if a unit with this ability makes a charge move, is charged, or performs a heroic intervention, you add 1 to the attack's characteristic of models in that unit until the end of the turn. Note that this is cumulative with the bonus these models receive from the Shock Assault ability. So, just as a little refresher here, so Shock Assault, it's the same thing. You make a charge move, charged, or perform a heroic intervention, you get to add 1 to the attack's characteristic. Now, I don't know why they... I mean, it's just kind of interesting wording that they basically, rather than saying, this replaces Shock Assault, you know, or Shock Assault now does 2 attacks extra as opposed to 1. Yeah, whatever. I don't know if this makes... I don't know if this makes it necessarily easier or less easy. It's, you know, tomato-tomato, basically. But yeah, so Blood Angels are going to get 2 extra attacks on the charge, if charged, or heroic intervention. And then on top of that, Assault Doctrine, you know, adds the, you know, improves the AP characteristic of pistol and melee weapons by 1. So if you are... You know, this only works... Well, I guess that's the thing. That's why. Now that I think about it, I take it back. The reason why is worded this way. Savage Echoes only works in the Assault Doctrine. My apologies. But, yeah, so in the Assault Doctrine, you are going to get +2 attacks, and you are going to, when you charge, are charged, or perform a heroic intervention. And, on top of that, you are going to get the AP boost on your melee and pistol weapons. Now, once again, as many people have talked about, same thing with the white scars and stuff. Any of these Assault Doctrine-only abilities, the problem is that you cannot use them until turn 3 at the earliest. Unless an army has a special stratagem that says otherwise... you cannot use them until turn 3. I don't think there's any stratagems right off the top of my head. I know there's stratagems that let you kind of like walk it back. And because, you know, when you move up in Doctrine, you start in Devastator. And then turn 2, you can. You don't have to. You could stay in whatever Doctrine you're in. But at any point, the next turn, you could choose to say, all right, I'm in turn 2, I'm going to stay in Devastator. But then turn 3, I'm going to finally move up to Tactical. And then turn 4, I'm going to move to Assault. But then you're stuck. You can't go backwards. You can only go forwards unless you use stratagems. But to my understanding, there are no stratagems that let you just move it up. You can't just, you know, turn 1, go, well, boom, Assault Doctrine, and that's it. So you kind of have to... The main problem with that overall is that you have to keep your shit alive until turn 3 to make it count. Unfortunately, in the current Alpha Strike meta, that's not going to be necessarily an easy task. So it would be nice if, like Blood Angels, got a stratagem that they could, right off the bat, at least skip Devastator or something. Or maybe turn 2. They can choose to either do Tactical or Assault. You know, you can go from Devastator to, you know, if they want to make sure it doesn't happen turn 1, something like that that would at least let you do turn 2 would be, you know, quite beneficial. Would it be OP? I don't think so, honestly. namely because the current situation with the Alpha Strike is set up in such a way that, you know, shit like Iron Hand Devastators and shit are OP. So, you know, Assault can be very, very, very powerful tool. It can be one of the most devastating things to happen to an army because of the just massive amount of attacks and all the problems with wrapping and everything else that being assaulted can cause. But at the end of the day, most of the time, if you cannot wrap and or kill your target right in that first go-around, you're fucked. Because then the next turn, enemy's just going to fall back and just blast your ass away. So, but anyway, either way, plus two attacks is nothing to scoff at. And especially, you know, if you've got the neg one AP extra on your melee and pistol weapons. So, then we've also got Biomantic Sarcophagus, which is for a Librarian Dreadnought model only, which is a unique Blood Angels thing. Add 6 inches to the range of the psychic powers in this model manifests from the Sanguinary Discipline. In addition, once per turn, when a psychic test or deny the witch test is taken for this model, you can reroll one of the dice. So, if you're somebody who likes the psychic phase, you can, you know, take advantage of this Librarian Dreadnought model even further. Now, I don't have specifics on the psychic powers that they'll have in that discipline. So, you know, as of right now, we can only say, ooh, it adds 6 inches to the range, but they might all suck anyways. Doubtful, but... and, you know, being able to reroll one of your die for, you know, psychic tests or deny the witch tests is pretty nice. So, then we've got a Chaplain Litany of Battle available to the Blood Angels. That's the a specific litany. Invocation of Destruction. If this litany is inspiring, select one friendly Blood Angels unit within 6 inches of this model. When resolving an attack made with a melee weapon by a model in that unit, on an unmodified wound roll of 6, that weapon has an AP characteristic of -4 for that attack. So, not so much something you're going to want to use for, like, a melee specialist unit that's already doing, you know, -2, -3. Well, -2 maybe. But typically speaking, you know, it's not going to be as something you're going to want to use because it's not going to make as much of a difference. What this is going to be really useful on is larger units that are doing a lot of, you know, a lot of quantity of attacks. Not necessarily quality. If you got both quantity and quality, sure, boom. But quantity of attacks to increase your odds of getting those sixes. And then, you know, if you're talking about a bunch of chain swords and shit that... Or, you know, depending on, you know, depending on what you're equipped with, you're probably looking at, with most of your dudes, doing AP nothing or -1, at best, on average, maybe -1 to -2 in the assault doctrine. But yeah, instead you're going to be looking at -4 for each unmodified wound of 6. So once again, you want quantity, not necessarily quality, because you're already fishing for sixes anyways if you're doing quantity versus quality, most likely. So there you go. So you could see, like, you know, just guys just walking up with their fucking knives and shit and stabbing the shit out of a fucking knight. So, possibly. So, which is pretty cool. We've also got the Rapid Fire Stratagem for 2CP. Use at the start of your shooting phase, select one Blood Angels Intercessor Squad or Death Company Intercessors.
Yep.
Death Company Intercessors unit from your army. Until the end of that phase, bolt rifles that models in that unit are equipped with have a type characteristic of Rapid Fire 2. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at Rapid Fire 2, and then if you can double tap on top of that, using Bolter Discipline... each guy pumping out 4 shots, pretty fucking baller. So, and yes, as I mentioned there, Death Company Intercessors. So it was believed that the, you know, Primaris upgrade stuff, the whole point of even the Primaris gene seeds that Call had put together was to kind of get rid of all those old impurities and shit like that. But the Black Rage still exists, even amongst the Primaris. So, yeah, so Black Rage, what that's going to do is it's going to add one to the attack's characteristic of models on this unit during any turn in which it made a charge move. So, you know, just take it back a step here. Let's say you're in the Assault Doctrine with Savage Echoes, and you make a charge. You are getting one for Shock Assault, one for being in the Assault Doctrine and having Savage Echoes, and then another one for Black Rage. You're getting three bonus attacks per model when you charge specifically with the Black Rage one. It does not work when being charged or heroically intervening. When a model in this unit would lose a wound, roll 1d6. On a 6, that wound is not lost. So it also, that just in general is going to give them the ability to, you know, feel no pain their way out of bullshit. So, but yeah. So that's pretty fucking scary when you think about that. That's a lot of fucking attacks. And then they go on to talk about, like I said, probably my favorite Space Marine chapter. Well, there are two Space Marine chapters I really love. Carcharodons and Flesh Terrors. And if you've not listened to this podcast before, there you go. If you have listened to this podcast before, sorry for saying it again, but those two chapters are badass. They do go on to share some stuff about the Flesh Terrors. Not much here. They mention that they have a chapter-specific rule that replaces the Blood Angels' Red Thirst rule, which they did not go over in this preview, admittedly. But what this is going to do for Flesh Terrors is it gives them the ability called Fury Within. When resolving an attack made with a melee weapon by a model with this ability in a turn in which that model's unit made a charge move, was charged, or performed a heroic intervention, add one to the wound roll. In addition, when resolving an attack made with a melee weapon by a model in this unit, an unmodified wound roll of 6, improve that weapon's armor penetration characteristic by 1 for that attack. So, this replaces Red Thirst. Now, going on the assumption, well, it doesn't specify here. This is speculation here. Going on the assumption that Savage Echoes is not part of Red Thirst, that it is not like a sub-rule to the Red Thirst rule, okay? What this means is that in the Assault Doctrine, you charge. Let's say you go ahead and you charge some Death Company Flesh Terrors in. We'll just go with the regular dudes. You charge them in. They're going to get plus one attack with Shock Assault. They're going to get plus one attack for just Savage Echoes, once again. Assuming, you know, grain of salt there. Assuming that does not, replace any part of the Red Thirst. Because in which case, you're not going to get it. Too bad. So sad. So we're talking, like I said, we're talking Intercessor Squad, okay? Intercessor Squad gets two attacks on the dude, charges him. Savage Echoes gives him one. Shock Assault gives him another one. So there's two bonus attacks. She's at four attacks. And then you are going to get, in the Assault Doctrine, you're going to get the AP -1 on that attack. So let's see here. What are we equipped with? Bolt pistol. Let's see here. What is the regular dude's armed with? So the regular dudes would just, you know, be punching people. The sergeant would have the chainsword. But anyway. So then you're looking at the -1 AP. Okay. For starters there. With the Assault Doctrine. So you got four attacks per dude, -1 AP. And then you're going to roll the dice when you do the wounding. They're at strength 4, but +1 to the wound roll. That's fucking killer. So you're going to be looking at, I need a 4. Well, actually, I only need a 3. If I need 5s, well, I need 4s. So on and so forth. And then the unmodified 6s. So you have to roll natural 6s. You're going to get another AP bonus. So you could be striking. These dudes could be punching people. It's just straight up no weapons. Just punch 4 times at strength 4, but with the +1 on the wound roll at -2 AP just for punching them. So then you throw in, special equipment and shit like that. Throw in some power swords and thunder hammers, etc. You can see that this army is going to be really, really fucking murder heavy. I am very intrigued to see how this turns out. Because I still have some Primaris Marines in my collection. I don't have very many. Just stuff that came with Dark Imperium. And admittedly, I sold off the character models and stuff. But, I could see myself sitting down and finally going, yep, fuck it. Here we go. Flesh Terrors it is. Let's do it up. Personally, though, once again, between them and Carcharodons, I've not been able to decide 100%. But, because I love both of them, both color-wise and fluff-wise. So a lot of cool stuff there. Once again, all focused in the assault phase with the Assault Doctrine specifically, which means to get the most out of this army as it stands, sight unseen, not knowing stratagems, etc. You're going to need to survive to turn 3 and then go punch people in the dick. With the alternative option being to just go try and punch them in the dick right up front, which in which case, why are you playing Blood Angels? You could have played a different army that was better at dick punching turn 1, but that's neither here nor there. So, all right. Anywho, last bit we're going to go over here. Actually going to take one more quick break here. And then we're going to go over those Night Lords rules. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome to the last segment of today's show. I just wanted to dedicate this part of the show to my brother Zach and lovingly tell him to grab his fucking wallet and get out there and buy some goddamn Chaos Space Marines and get your goddamn Night Lords army together. You've been wanting to do it for a long time, motherfucker. Now is the time. The time is nigh. In midnight clad and all that bullshit. So, anywho, let's get to it, shall we? There's a lot of good stuff going on with this particular army. Out of the new book, all of the legions have gotten a little something. I've even liked some of the world leader stuff because, I think I've mentioned before, I have a hobby goal to eventually have a little bit of every army in, that GW makes. And I emphasize the word little bit, something that you could sit down and play a game with, that's actually a legit match play style game. But not necessarily 2,000 points of everything. So, anywho. When it comes to Chaos, there's so many different legions and renegade chapters that I'm not certain what I would really focus on. Night Lords is a possibility, but I leave that to my brother Zach, who once again needs to grab his goddamn wallet and get the fuck to it. But there's a lot of other legions and stuff. World Eaters has some cool shit too, that from what I've seen. So I've always loved the idea of a World Eaters army very much. So anywho, let's get into this. We're gonna start with some warlord traits here. We're just gonna kind of go through them here one at a time. Starting with Night Haunter's Curse. It's just like the one in the core book. It buys your warlord a free reroll to hit, wound, damage, or saving throw. So, okay, it's not bad. Not crazy, but it's not bad. One piece at a time. This allows your warlord to charge if he falls back, and your opponent receives a negative one to hit your warlord in melee. So if you are primarily building your warlord to be a more melee-centric, you know, dude, so that gives you something to work with. So, you know, being harder to hit is great. The whole charge, even if you fall back thing, is really cool too. Especially with all the abilities that give you bonuses on the charge. So, murderous reputation, you inflict mortal wounds on an unmodified hit roll of 6. Depending on how many times you're attacking, that could definitely come in handy. Killing fury, plus D3 attacks if your warlord charges, gets charged, or performs a heroic intervention. Too bad that doesn't stack with one piece at a time, but I get why, because that'd be ridiculous. One with the shadows. If your warlord is completely on or within a terrain feature, add 1 to his saving throws, ignoring invulns, and also improve his invuln by 1. This is part of the problem. I don't have the actual book, so this is from an article and stuff. I find it weird that it ignoring invuln save, but you also improve your invuln save. Huh. I mean, add 1 to his saving throws, so you get a cover save. Maybe that's why, because it's like listed as a cover save, but is it a +1 on top of a cover save, or is it saying you get a cover save and you improve your invuln save by, I don't know. Weird wording, but making your dude tougher is nice. And that dirty fighter, while there are more friendly models within 3 inches of your warlord than enemy models, your warlord gets +1 to wound. That right there, if you play your cards right and have some buddies teamed up with you when you get into the fight, that can definitely do some work. Anything that adds plus bonuses to wound rolls is great. This is the problem with stuff that's like +1 to strength, which actually I mentioned the World Eaters thing. I did see one of their stratagems is a pregame stratagem. I know I'm getting off tangent here, but I just want to mention this quick. Pregame stratagem called Red Butchers, which lets you, I think it's for a Terminator unit only. You can pick 1 Terminator unit in the army, give it the Red Butchers keyword. I think it is a keyword that it adds. But it gives them +1 strength, which is whatever. +1 strength doesn't mean shit for the most part in this game nowadays. +1 to wound, that is where it's at. Because just to equate things here, if you are, if you are strength 4 and you are punching something toughness 8, toughness 7, excuse me. We'll go with toughness 7. Strength 4, punch something toughness 7. You're going to go ahead and you're going to need to roll 3s. If you get +1 strength, you're at strength 5, you get to roll 3s. At +2 strength, you are strength 6, you still have to, roll, or not 3s, excuse me, 5s. Damn, I was doing the backwards, apologies. So, no matter what, until you get equal to that 7, you would need to be strength +3 strength. That's what I was trying to think, too, at the same time. Too many numbers at once. I haven't slept enough. +3 strength to make it even make a goddamn difference. But that +1 to wound, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Boom. There you go. Now you're going ahead and wounding them on 4s. So, but the big thing that Red Butchers does is it gives the blood for the blood god and lets them attack twice in each fight phase. Now, you don't have to spend more stratagem. They just get fight twice every fucking combat that they're in, which is pretty awesome. So, overall, you got some good choices here. The one piece at a time seems to be probably your best option overall, just because of being able to, fall back and charge and being harder to hit in melee, etc. And one with the shadows is cool, but, improving your saving throw versus re-rolling your saving throw. But there's still some good stuff there. Relics. We've got Flare. Replaces a power sword. It's strength plus one, which, as I just mentioned, means pretty much jack dick. But it's better than strength plus zero. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, unless you're paying for it. If you're paying to get a strength plus one bonus, it's not much. And in a way, you're paying for the relic by giving up your relic option to get that thing. Strength plus one, AP neg three, damage two, and the weapon counts kills as two for morale purposes. So you double. So if you manage to kill three dudes, it counts as if you killed six when it comes to morale. Stormbolt plate, two plus save, and the bearer always counts as being in cover. Infantry only. Kind of weird coming from the Night Lord's perspective, but okay. Vox Demonicus. Your opponent can't deep strike within 12 inches of the bearer, and it makes enemy units within 6 inches change the range of all of their aura abilities to 1 inch. Infantry only. That is... yikes. Talons of the Night Terror. Strength plus 1, AP neg 1, damage 1. Gives you a bonus D3 attacks every turn, D6 when you charge. Doesn't replace a weapon, and it's only for models that fly. So it gives you all these, gives you bonus attacks on top of your actual combat weapons, which is nice. Scourging Chains, it improves the AP value of your weapons by 1 and makes opponents subtract 1 from their attack stat while they're within 1 inch of the bearer. And then Misery of the Meek, once per game use, the bearer can drink this to recover D6 damage. And until the start of your next turn, they also get plus D3 attacks. So, you know, your dude's getting worn down. He's almost toast. Pop this. Bring him back up. Now, D6 damage recovery could mean, holy shit, I'm fully healed. Or it could mean, ooh, one wound has been returned. Yay. But getting extra attacks is nice, too. But there's a lot of RNG in that, which is not great. Same thing with the Talons of the Night Terror. A lot of RNG. Relying on the D6, D3 stuff kind of sucks. So, but Vox Demonicus, this is the one that has the internet basically shitting bricks. Can't deep strike within 12 inches of the bearer. That's nice. But making enemy units within 6 inches change the range of their aura abilities to 1 inch. Now, to my understanding, too, though, from what I've gathered, that only is auras, like, I think that's only, like, I'm trying to remember, yeah, it's like they're buffing auras. I don't think it affects debuff auras, so anything that, like, would harm you, still gets to maintain that aura, if you have, I think, like, the Calexus Assassin or some shit has some ability like that. There's been some conversation about whether or not Savior Protocols count as an aura. If so, holy shit. If not, okay, whatever. I personally feel like they're not intended to count as an aura, but, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? You know, leave a comment on the Facebook page or whatever. Let me know what you guys think with that. But yeah, being able to cut down an opponent's buffing auras to 1 inch, that is main as fuck. All you got to do is get your ass up in their line near their characters that are helping, those support characters that make the difference. And now you just completely, absolutely fuck them up, you know. So, but yeah. So, I think it's, pretty cool shit there. Then we got stratagems. In Midnight Clad, it's just like the one of the Codex. You get shot, and any Night Lord's infantry unit can receive a neg 1 to be hit for the rest of the phase. Vox Scream, 2 CP, any Night Lord's unit can turn off the aura ability of an enemy character within 18 inches. Within 18 inches! So, you just straight up turn it off. It's the same thing like the Vox Demonicus. But yeah, you could just you know, there you go. You pick that guy. If he's too far away for the Vox Demonicus to make a difference, you could just pick him out and say, boom. And, you know, as long as he's within range of whatever unit you add the stratagem to. And then they're gone. And they're not just limited to 1 inch, I don't think. I think it's just straight up they don't get to use their aura for that turn. So, prey on the weak. 1 CP, when a Night Lord's unit fights or shoots an enemy unit with lower leadership than they do, they get a +1 to hit. Not bad, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff with higher leadership in the game nowadays. But I guess that's, you know, so they're going to be good against armies that are more horde style. Now, I wonder if it's modified or unmodified leadership, because, you know, between Night Lord's abilities and then, the Vigilus Ablaze, they have a specialist detachment that does a lot of, you know, negative leadership shit and stuff too. If it's, you know, if it's based on whatever the current leadership is, you could easily, you know, make that happen frequently. So, hit and run, 1 CP, Night Lord's unit can fall back and charge. Okay, cool, yep. We have come for you. 1 CP, and it lets you stop all enemy units from falling back from one of your Night Lord's units if it's not a vehicle. This doesn't stop... Or that is the vehicle. So it doesn't stop vehicles or Titanic units from falling back. I've heard two, I think, also things that have minimum move characteristics. It doesn't stop vehicles, so which most things with minimum move are going to be vehicles. So I take that back. But I can't think of anything that's got a min move that isn't a vehicle. There's a lot of potential there to, wrap up an enemy, or at minimum, not wrap him, sorry. Especially if you can't wrap him, though, and you need him to stay put, either because you don't want him to get away, you legitimately want to kill him, or secondly, because if he falls back, that's going to leave that unit literally just standing out with their dicks in the breeze, and they're just going to get blown off the table afterwards. So that can come in handy. But it also can keep a more powerful opponent from actually, you know, working his magic. So, then we have From the Night. 1 CP, if a Night Lord's infantry unit makes a charge roll while entirely on or within a terrain feature, add 2 to their charge roll, and they also receive +1 to hit in the following fight phase. So, obviously, it's going to require you to be in terrain. What's cool about this is not so much what it does for you directly. It's more what it prevents a wise opponent from doing. A smarter opponent may try to stay away, basically, from... They're going to have to either commit fully if they want... I'm getting my brain all mixed up here. If an opponent, and say you're in this terrain feature and your opponent wants to move you, they need to shift you, they can either, you know, blast in there themselves. I mean, they could sit there and try to shoot you, obviously, too. But let's say that, you know, you're dug in like a son bitch. The enemy doesn't have, you know, ignore cover weapons all that much, blah, 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 whatever. Let's say they need to get in there and shift you out. If they don't commit enough and they don't end up getting into that combat, now they're close, and on your turn you can say fuck you and come running out extra fast and just, you know, murder the shit out of them for their audacity. So, but also, so that being said too, it may cause an opponent to try to lure you out, knowing that if they get close enough you're gonna jump out of that terrain feature. So keep that in mind. It does work both ways as a double-edged sword. Then we've got Raptor Strike. 1 CP. If a Night Lord's jump pack unit is placed on the table for reserve, they get 3d6 to charge instead of 2d6. I'm assuming, just like most things, you still have to be within 12 inches of a target in order to declare it as a charge in the first place. that it's not going to give you an 18-inch declaration space, so keep that in mind. Flay them alive, 1 CP. When a Night Lord's unit destroys an enemy unit in the fight phase, your enemy rolls 2d6 and discards the lowest for any morale test taken by other units within 12 inches of a Night Lord's unit that destroyed the enemy unit. So there's a lot here. There's a lot here that can combo and so on and so forth. The main key to make all of this work the best, meant to for maximum efficiency, is to not go after one model at a, or one unit at a time. You don't want to focus down and butcher a whole unit and move to the next. Because here's the problem. Say you beat the shit out of one unit and be like, haha, I got him way knocked down. He's going to have to take a leadership test. He's going to auto pass. He's going to spend 2 CP and he's going to auto pass. I think it's 2 CP if I remember correctly. He's going to just say, nope, boom, they're staying. But if you attack a unit over here, a unit in the middle, a unit to the right, and so on and so forth, if you knock a few models off of each while using, you know, negative leadership debuffs and other stratagems and stuff, you could basically force your opponent to go, all right, I can't use this stratagem for more than one unit. I got to pick one unit that I really want to stick around for this next turn and take my chances with the others. So yeah, you're going to want to try to spread out the negative debuffs as much as you can, stack them as much as you can, and then hit them just enough. Well, that's the key. You're going to want to hit them just enough to knock them down really hard so that that morale phase is going to really shit the bed for them and really just fuck up their day, you know? So otherwise, they're going to get away with it and not going to give a flying shit because they're just going to auto-pass and be like, haha, and there you go. All that work for nothing. So yeah, overall, Night Lords, really badass looking, and Zach needs to fucking buy them. So, but yeah, overall, I think Faith and Fury, I think, is going to add a lot of cool stuff. I'm hoping to get my hands on the full book soon, so we can kind of look at some of the other legions in greater detail. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. So, but I think we're going to call it a call today, guys. As always, thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. If you get an opportunity, hit up my Patreon page, patreon.com/theregimentalvox. Also, follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast. Twitter, @regimentalvox. I know it's three different things and stuff. I really should try to see if I can change the Facebook one and make it shorter. And Twitter was just because it wouldn't let me do the Regimental Vox because it was too long. But yeah, so, and then, of course, too, as I mentioned earlier, but doing some more commission painting stuff. If you've got some shit that, clicked on a weird button and suddenly there was loud noises blasting in my face, or in my ears, rather, because I don't hear out of my face. I don't know if it came through at all on your end. I can't imagine it did, but. As I mentioned, Danger Close Painting Studio, if you need shit painted up, you can find us on Facebook. My brother and I, we paint shit up on the cheap. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.